be more upset about moving on than he is. Baby girl, things don't have to make sense to be true. Grabbing the remote, he turned the speaker volume down. You're right, but I found Gideon at the same time I started at Waters Field in Lehman. Practically speaking, there's no comparison between a job you've had 3 months and a husband you're going to spend the rest of your life with. He shot me a look.
You went from sensible to practical. This just keeps getting worse.
Oh, shut up. Carrie never let me get away with the easy explanation. Since I was often good at deluding myself, his no-bullshit policy was a mirror I needed. My smile faded. I want more.
More what?
More of everything. I looked his way again. Gideon's got this presence, you know. When he walks into a room, everyone straightens up and pays attention. I want that.
You married that. You get it de facto with the name and the bank balance.
I sat up. I want it because I've earned it, Carrie. Jeffrey Cross left behind a lot of people who want some payback from his son, and Gideon's made his own enemies, like the Lucases.
The who?
I wrinkled my nose. The batshit Ann Lucas and her equally insane husband. Then it hit me. Oh my God, Carrie. I didn't tell you. About the redhead you messed around with at that dinner a few weeks back, that was Ann Lucas.
What the hell are you talking about?
Remember when I asked you to run a search on Dr. Terrence Lucas? Ann is his wife. Carrie's confusion was obvious. I couldn't go into how Terry Lucas had examined Gideon as a child and lied about finding signs of sexual trauma. He'd done so in order to shield his brother-in-law, Hugh, from prosecution. I would never understand how he could do that, no matter how much he loved his wife. As for Anne, Gideon had slept with her to get back at her husband, but her physical resemblance to her brother had led to sexual depravity that haunted Gideon. He'd punished Anne for the sins of her brother, leaving both himself and her mentally warped in the process. That left Gideon and me with two very vicious enemies to contend with. I explained as much as I could. The Lucases have this whole twisted history thing with Gideon that I can't get into. But it's no coincidence that you two ended up together that night. She planned it that way.
Why?
Because she's nuts, and she knows it'll fuck with my head.
Why the hell would you care who I tangle with?
Carrie, I always care. I heard my mobile phone start ringing. The hanging by a moment ringtone told me it was my husband calling. I stood. But in this case, it's the calculation behind it. You weren't just some random hot fling. She targeted you specifically because you're my best friend.
I'm not seeing how that accomplishes anything.
It's flipping the bird at Gideon. Getting his attention is what she wants more than anything. Carrie arched a brow.
The whole thing sounds loopy, but whatever.
I ran into her again not too long ago. What? When?
Last week, maybe.
He shrugged.
I just wrapped up a shoot and my Uber was waiting outside the studio. She was stepping out of a cafe with a girlfriend at the same time. It was totally out of the blue.
I shook my head. My phone stopped ringing. No way. Did she say anything to you?
Sure. She kind of flirted a little, which isn't surprising considering the last time we saw each other. I shut her down, told her I was working on a relationship. She was cool about it, wished me luck, said thanks again for a fun time. She took off down the street, end of story.
My phone started ringing again. If you ever see her, walk the other way and call me, okay?
Okay. But you're not telling me enough for this to make any sense.
Let me talk with Gideon. I hurried toward my phone and answered it. Hey.
Were you in the shower?
Gideon purred.
Are you naked and wet, Angel?
Oh, God. Hang on a minute. I dropped the phone to my shoulder and walked back to Carrie. Was she wearing a wig when you saw her?
Carrie's brows shot up. How the hell would I know?
Was it long, like when you first met her?
Yeah, same.
I nodded grimly.
Anne wore her hair cropped, and I'd never seen a picture of her otherwise. She'd worn a wig when she pursued Carrie at the dinner, which had thrown me off and hidden her from Gideon. Maybe it was a new style for her. Or maybe it was another indication that she had special plans when it came to Carrie. I put the phone to my ear.
I needed to come back over, Gideon, and bring Angus up with you.
Something in my tone must have relayed my concern, because Gideon showed up with both Angus and Raoul. I opened the door and found the three men filling the hallway, my husband front and center, with both bodyguards flanking him. To call the sight of them intense would be an understatement. Gideon had loosened his tie and unbuttoned his collar and vest, but was otherwise dressed as he'd been when we parted earlier. The slight dishevelment was sexy as hell, sending an instant tingle of arousal through my blood. It was a temptation, an enticement for me to finish taking off those expensive, elegant layers and reveal the powerful, primal male underneath. As smoking hot as Gideon was with clothes on, there was nothing like the sight of him purely nude. My gaze locked with Gideon's and gave me away. One darkly winged brow arched upward, and the corner of his mouth lifted in amusement.
"Hello to you, too,"
he teased, in reply to my heated look. The two men behind him stood in contrast with their bespoke but starkly basic black suits, white shirts, and unembellished black ties all perfectly arranged. I'd never really noticed before how superfluous Angus and Raoul appeared when standing beside Gideon, a man who could clearly manage a hand-to-hand confrontation without any help. Raoul stood stone-faced, as per his usual. Angus, too, was stoic, but the mischievous glance he sent my way told me he'd caught me eye-fucking his boss. I felt my face get hot. Stepping back and out of the way, I let them in. Angus and Raoul headed into the living room where Carrie waited. Gideon hung back with me as I shut the door.
"You're giving me that look, Angel, but you wanted Angus with me. Explain."
That made me laugh, which was just what I needed to break the tension. "How can I help it when it looks like you were stripping when I called you?"
"I can finish here."
"You realize I may have to burn all your clothes after the wedding. You should always be naked."
"Would make for interesting meetings at work."
Maybe not then. For my eyes only and all that. I leaned into the door and took a deep breath. Anne's made contact with Carrie since the dinner. All the warmth and lightness left Gideon's eyes, replaced by a chill that warned of bad things ahead. He started toward the living room. I raced to catch up, linking our hands to remind him that we were in this together. I knew it was a concept that was going to take some getting used to. Gideon had been standing alone for so long, fighting his own battles and those of the people he loved. Taking a seat on the coffee table, he faced Carrie and said,
"Tell me what you told Ava."
Gideon looked ready to tackle Wall Street while Carrie looked ready to tackle a nap, but that didn't seem to impact my husband at all. Carrie ran through it all again, his gaze darting occasionally toward Angus and Raoul, who stood nearby.
"That's it,"
he finished.
"No offense, guys, but you seem like a lot of muscle for a redhead who's maybe 120 pounds soaking wet."
I would have pegged Anne at 130, but that was neither here nor there. "Better safe than sorry," I said. He shot me a look.
"What can she do? Seriously, what's everyone all anxious about?"
Gideon shifted restlessly.
"We had an affair. That's not the right word. It wasn't pretty."
"You fucked her," Carrie said bluntly. "I figured that much."
"Fucked her over," I elaborated, stepping closer so I could rest my hand on Gideon's shoulder. I supported my husband even though I couldn't condone what he'd done, and truthfully, the part of me that was obsessed with Gideon pitied Anne. There had been times when I believed I'd lost Gideon forever, and I had gone a little crazy myself. Still, she was dangerous in a way I could never be, and that danger was directed at people I loved. She's not taking it well that he's with me.
What? Are we talking fatal attraction type stuff?
Well, she's a psychologist, so fatal attraction meets basic instinct would be more accurate.
It's a Michael Douglas marathon wrapped up in one woman.
Don't joke, Ava.
Gideon said tightly.
Who's joking?
I shot back. Carrie saw her and that long wig she wore to the dinner. I'm thinking she wanted him to recognize her so they could chat. Carrie snorted.
So she's crazy town. What do you want me to do? Let you know if I run into her again?
I want a protection detail on you, I said.
Gideon nodded.
Agreed.
Wow. Carrie rubbed at the 5 o'clock shadow on his jaw. You guys are hardcore about this.
You've got enough going on, I reminded him. If she's got an agenda, you don't need to deal with it. His lips twisted wryly.
Can't argue with that.
We'll take care of it,
Angus said. Raoul nodded, and then both men headed downstairs. Gideon stayed behind. Carrie looked back and forth between us, then stood.
I don't think you two need me anymore, so I'm hitting it. I'll catch you in the morning,
he said to me, before sauntering down the hall to his bedroom. Are you worried? I asked Gideon when we were alone.
You are. That's enough.
I took the spot on the sofa directly across from him. It's not so much worry, more like curiosity. What does she think she can accomplish through Carrie? Gideon exhaled wearily.
She's playing head games, Ava, that's all.
I don't think so. She was very specific in her comments to me at the dinner, warning me away from you. Like I don't know you and wouldn't want you if I did. His jaw tightened, and I knew I'd struck a chord. He'd never really gotten into what they had talked about when he went to her office. It was possible she'd said something similar to him then. I'm going to talk to Anne, I announced. Gideon pierced me with his icy blue gaze.
The hell you are.
I laughed softly. My poor husband. So accustomed to having his word be law and then choosing to marry a woman like me. I know we've covered a lot of ground over the course of our relationship, but somewhere in there we did discuss working as a team.
And I'm open to doing that,
he said smoothly.
But Anne is not the place to start. You can't reason with someone who's completely irrational.
I don't want to reason with her, Ace. She's targeting my friends, and she thinks I'm a weak spot for you. She needs to know I'm not helpless, and that by taking you on, she's taking on both of us.
She's my problem. I'll deal with her.
If you've got a problem, Gideon, it's my problem, too.
Listen. Operation Godiva is in full effect now. My inaction is only making the situation with Anne worse.
I leaned forward.
In her mind, either I know what's happening and I'm too weak to do something, or you're hiding everything from me, which suggests that I'm too weak to handle it. Either way, you're making me a target, and that's not what you want.
You don't know what's in her mind, he said tightly.
Things are a little twisted up there, sure. But she's a woman. Trust me. She needs to know I have claws and am prepared to use them. His gaze narrowed.
What would you say?
A little flare of triumph had me holding back a smile. Honestly, I think it's enough if I just pop up somewhere unexpected. An ambush, so to speak. That'll shake her a little to find me lying in wait. Will she go on the defensive or take the offense? We'll get insight from her reaction, and we need it.
Gideon shook his head.
I don't like it.
I didn't think you would. I stretched out my legs between his. But you know I'm right.
It's not my strategy that's bugging you, Gideon. More like your past won't go away, and you don't want it in my face.
It will Go away, Ava. Let me handle it.
You need to be more analytical about this. I'm a member of your team, like Angus and Raoul, but obviously I'm not an employee, and I'm sure as hell not a dependent. I'm your better half. It's not just Gideon Cross anymore. It's not even Gideon Cross and wife. We are Gideon and Ava Cross, and you need to let me live up to that. He leaned forward, his gaze hot and intense.
You don't have anything to prove to anyone.
Really? Because I feel like I have to prove something to you. If you don't believe I'm strong enough...
Ava.
Gideon's hands cupped the back of my knees and pulled me closer.
You're the strongest woman I know.
He said the words, but I could see he didn't truly mean them, not in the way we needed him to. He saw me as a survivor, not a warrior. Then stop worrying, I countered. And let me do what I have to do.
I don't agree that you have to do anything.
Then you'll have to agree to disagree. I leaned into him, draping my arms across his broad shoulders and pressing my lips to the corner of his stern mouth.
Angel.
To be clear, I wasn't asking permission, Gideon. I'm telling you what I'm doing. You can either participate or stand back. Your choice. He made a noise of frustration.
Where's the compromise you're always pushing me for?
Pulling back, I shot him a look. The compromise is letting me try it my way this time. If it doesn't work, we try it your way next time.
Thanks.
Don't be like that. We'll sit down together to work out the logistics of when and where. We'll need Raoul to get a handle on her routine. By definition, an ambush is unexpected, but it should happen somewhere she feels safe and comfortable, too. Give her a nice jolt. I shrugged. She's laid down the ground rules. We're just taking her cue. Gideon took a long, deep breath. I could practically see him thinking, his agile mind trying to find a way to get the result he wanted. So I distracted him from that. Remember this morning? When I said I'd explain why I decided to tell my parents about our marriage? His focus instantly shifted, his gaze watchful and alert.
Of course.
I know it took a lot of courage for you to tell Dr. Peterson about Hugh, especially considering how you feel about psychologists. And who could blame him for that distrust? Hugh had come into Gideon's life under the guise of therapeutic help and had become an abuser instead. You inspired me to be equally brave. His gorgeous face softened with tenderness.
I heard that song today,
he murmured, reminding me of the time I'd sung the Sarah Bareilles anthem to him. I smiled.
You needed me to tell him,
he said quietly. The words were phrased as a statement, but were really posed as a question. Yeah, I did. More than that, Gideon had needed it. Sexual abuse was private and personal, but in some way, we had to put it out there. It wasn't a dirty, shameful secret to shove into a box. It was an ugly truth, and truths, by nature, needed to be aired.
And you need to confront Anne.
My brows rose. I actually wasn't swinging the conversation back to that, but yeah, I do. This time Gideon nodded.
All right. We'll figure it out.
I indulged in a mental fist pump. Score one for Godeva.
You also said there was something you wanted more than having sex with me.
He reminded me dryly. The look in his eyes calling my bluff. Well, I wouldn't put it quite like that. I ran my fingers through his hair. Banging you is literally my favorite activity. Ever. He smirked.
But...
You're going to think I'm silly.
I'll still think you're hot.
I kissed him for that. In high school, most of the girls I knew had boyfriends. You know how it is, raging hormones and epic love stories.
So I heard,
he said wryly. My words caught in my throat. So stupid of me to forget how it must have been for Gideon. He'd had no one until Corinne in college, too damaged by Hugh's exploitation to have the normal teenage love affair angst I was thinking of.
Angel.
I cursed silently. Forget it. It's lame.
You know that's not going to work.
Just this once?
No.
Please? He shook his head.
Spit it out.
I wrinkled my nose. Fine. Teenagers talk on the phone at night for hours because they have school and parents and can't be together. They spend all night chatting with their boyfriends about whatever. I never had that. I bit back my embarrassment. I never had a guy like that. I didn't have to explain. Gideon knew how I'd been. How sex had once been my twisted way to feel loved. The guys I'd fucked hadn't called me. Not before or after. Anyway, I finished, my voice rough. I had this idea that we could have that for now. While we're waiting. Late-night calls where we talk just to hear each other's voice. He stared at me. It sounded better in my head, I muttered. Gideon was quiet for a long minute. Then he kissed me. Hard. I was still reeling from that when he pulled away and spoke in a voice that was more than a little hoarse.
I'm that guy for you, Ava.
My throat tightened up.
Every milestone, Angel. Every rite of passage. Everything.
He swiped at the tear that leaked out of the corner of my eye.
And you're that girl for me.
God. I gave a watery laugh. I love you so much. Gideon smiled.
I'm heading home now. Because that's what you want. And you're going to call me and tell me that again. Because that's what I want.
Deal. I woke before my alarm the next day. Lying in bed for a few minutes, I let my brain wake up as much as it was going to without coffee. I forced myself to focus on the fact that it was the start of my final day at work. Surprisingly, I felt more than good about that. I felt impatient. It really was time to shake things up. And now the really big question. What to wear? I rolled out of bed and hit my closet. After rifling through pretty much everything, I decided on an emerald green sheath dress that had an asymmetrical neckline and hemline. It showed a little more leg than I would normally consider for work, but why end the way I began? Why not take the opportunity to transition from the former to the future? Today was Ava Tramell's last. On Monday, Ava Cross would have her debut. I could picture her, short and blonde against her husband's tall and dark, but as dangerous as him in a very similar way. Or maybe not. Maybe play up the differences. Opposite sides of the same sharp blade. With a final glance at my cheval mirror, I headed into the bathroom to put on my makeup. A short time later, Carrie poked his head in. He whistled.
Looking good, babe.
Thanks. I dropped my lipstick brush back into its stand. Can I talk you into helping me with a chignon? He sauntered in wearing nothing but Gray Isles boxer briefs, looking not so different from the billboards of him presently gracing phone kiosks and buses around the city.
Translation, do it for you.
Of course. My best friend got to work, expertly brushing and twisting my hair into a sleek, elegant bun.
That was pretty intense last night, he said.
After pulling the last hairpin out of his mouth,
having a living room full of black suits like that?
My eyes met his in the mirror. Three suits.
Two suits and Gideon, he shot back. Who can fill a room by his damn self?
I couldn't argue with that.
He flashed his megawatt smile. If anyone gets wind that I've got a private security detail, they'll think either I'm bigger shit than they knew, or I've got an inflated sense of my own importance. Both of which are true. Standing, I lifted onto my tiptoes and kissed his chin. You won't even know they're around. They'll be in super stealth mode.
Betcha I can spot 'em.
$5, I said, skirting around him to get a pair of heels from the bedroom.
What? How about 5 big ones, Mrs. Cross?
I snatched my phone off the bed when it chimed with an incoming text. Gideon's on his way up.
Why didn't he spend the night?
I answered over my shoulder as I rushed toward the hallway.
We're abstaining until the wedding.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Carrie's long strides easily overtook mine, even with him strolling and me scrambling. He swiped my heels right out of my grasp, freeing me to grab my travel mug of coffee off the breakfast bar.
I figured the honeymoon period lasted longer than that. Don't most husbands get laid at least a few years before they get cut off?
Shut up, Carrie. I grabbed my bag and yanked the front door open. Gideon stood on the other side, his hand lifted with key at the ready.
Angel.
Carrie reached around me and pulled the door open wider.
I feel for you, man. Put a ring on it and bam, the leg slammed shut.
Carrie, I glared. I'm going to punch you. Who's going to pack your overnight bag if you do that? He knew me too well.
Don't worry, baby girl. I'll be ready with your bag and mine.
He looked at Gideon.
Can't help you, I'm afraid. Wait till you see her in that blue La Perla bikini I'm packing. You'll have the balls to match.
I'm going to punch you, too,
Gideon drawled.
You'll have bruises to match.
Carrie gave me a soft push out the door and slammed it shut. It was nearing noon when Mark leaned over the top of my cubicle and gifted me with his crooked smile.
Ready for our last workday lunch?
I clasped a hand over my heart. You're killing me.
Happy to give your resignation letter back.
Shaking my head, I stood, my gaze sliding over my workstation. I hadn't packed my few personal items yet. When 5 o'clock rolled around, I expected to feel closure, but for now, I wasn't quite ready to give up my claim to my desk and the dream it had once represented. We'll have other lunches. I grabbed my purse out of the drawer and walked with him to the elevators. I'm not letting you off the hook that easily. I had a wave ready for Megumi when we hit reception, but she'd already taken off for lunch and her relief was busy manning the phones. I was going to miss seeing her, Will, and Mark every weekday. They were my own little piece of New York, a part of my life that belonged to me alone. That was something else I'd feared giving up by leaving my job, my personal social circle. I would work hard to keep my friends, of course. I'd make time to call and plan things for us to do together, but I knew how it was. Already I'd gone months without touching base with my San Diego pals, and my life would no longer resemble those of my friends. Our goals, dreams, and challenges would be worlds apart. The elevator car that picked up Mark and me held only a few people, but the space filled quickly as it made more stops. I made a mental note to ask Gideon for one of his magic elevator keys that allowed him to glide straight up or down with no interruptions. After all, I'd still be coming to the crossfire, just heading up to a different floor. What about you? I asked, as we shuffled closer together to make room for more passengers. Have you decided whether you're staying or going? He nodded and shoved his hands in his pants pockets.
I'm taking your cue.
I could tell from the set of his jaw that he was firm in his decision. That's awesome, Mark. Congratulations.
Thanks.
We exited on the ground floor and made our way through the security turnstiles.
Stephen and I talked it out,
he went on, as we crossed the gold-veined marble of the Crossfire lobby. Hiring you was a big step up for me. It was a sign that my career was moving in the right direction.
There's no doubt about that.
He smiled. Losing you was another sign. It's time to move on.
Mark gestured me through the revolving door first. I felt the heat of the sun before I finished the rotation that ushered me outside. Fall weather couldn't come quick enough. I was looking forward to the change of seasons. It felt appropriate for there to be some outward shift to match the one happening within me. My gaze slid over Gideon's sleek black limousine parked at the curb, and then I turned to face my boss when he joined me on the sidewalk. Where are we headed? Mark gave me an amused glance before he began scouting for an available taxi amid the surging sea of cars.
It's a surprise.
I rubbed my hands together. Yay!
Miss Trammell.
I turned at the sound of my name and found Angus standing beside the limo.
Dressed in his usual black suit and traditional chauffeur's hat, he looked dapper and expensive, yet blended in so easily that only a trained observer might suspect his MI6 background. It always tripped me out to think about his history. It was so James Bond. I'm sure I romanticized it way too much, but I was comforted by the knowledge, too. Gideon was in the best of hands.
Hey, you. I greeted Angus, allowing affection to color my voice. I couldn't help but feel special gratitude for him. His past with Gideon spanned years, and I would never know the whole of it. But I knew he'd been the one support in Gideon's life after Hugh. And Angus had been the only person from our daily lives who'd witnessed our elopement. The look on his face, when he talked to Gideon afterward, the tears that had shined in both of their eyes, there was an unbreakable bond there. His pale blue eyes sparkled at me as he pulled open the limo door.
Where would you both like to go?
Mark's brows shot up.
This is what you left me for? Hell, I can't compete.
You never had to. I paused before I slid into the back and looked at Angus. Mark doesn't want me to know where we're headed, so I'll just climb in and try not to eavesdrop. Angus tapped the brim of his hat in acknowledgement. A few minutes later, we were on our way. Mark sat on the bench seat opposite me, taking in the interior.
Whoa. I've rented limos before, but they never looked like this.
Gideon has great taste. It didn't matter what the style was, modern and contemporary like his office, or classic and old world like his penthouse. My husband knew how to present his wealth with class. Looking at me, Mark grinned.
You're a lucky lady, my friend.
I am, I agreed. All of this, I waved my hand, is amazing, of course, but he's the catch all by himself. He's just genuinely a really great guy.
I know what it's like to have one of those.
Yes, you sure do. How's the wedding planning coming along? Mark groaned.
Steven's killing me. Do I want blue or periwinkle, roses or lilies, satin or silk, morning or evening?
I tried to tell him that he can do what he wants. I just want him.
But he chewed me out. Said I damned well better care because I didn't have a chance of ever getting married again. All I can say is thank God for that.
I laughed.
How about you?
He asked. I'm starting to get into it. In this crazy world filled with billions of people, we managed to find each other. As Carrie would say, we should celebrate that. We talked about first dances and seating arrangements as Angus maneuvered us through the traffic that seemed to always clog Midtown. Looking past Mark out the window, I watched a cab come to a stop at the light beside us. The passenger in the back pinched a phone between her shoulder and ear, lips moving a mile a minute and hands furiously flipping through a notebook. Behind her, on the corner, a hot dog cart vendor did brisk business with a waiting line of 5 people. When we finally arrived and I stepped out onto the sidewalk, I knew right where we were.
Hey!
Tucked below street level, the Mexican restaurant was one we'd been to before, and it just happened to employ a server I was very fond of. Mark laughed.
He quit so suddenly, Shauna didn't have time to request the day off.
Aw, man. My chest felt tight. It was starting to feel like an ending I wasn't ready for.
Come on.
He caught me by the elbow and directed me inside, where I quickly spotted the table that held a party of familiar faces and Mylar balloons that said, "Great job," and "Best wishes," and "Congrats."
Wow.
My eyes burned with a sudden wash of tears. Megumi and Will sat with Steven at a table set for six. Shauna stood behind her brother's chair, their bright red hair impossible to miss.
Ava!
They shouted in chorus, drawing the attention of everyone in the room.
Oh, my God,
I breathed, my heart breaking more than a little. I was suddenly filled with sadness and doubt, faced with what I was giving up, even if only in one way.
You guys are so not getting rid of me.
Of course not. Shauna came over and gave me a hug, her slim arms strong and fierce around me. We've got a bachelorette blowout to plan.
Woo!
Megumi wrapped me in a hug the second Shauna stepped back.
Maybe we could skip that tradition,
interjected a warm, deep voice behind me. Turning in surprise, I faced Gideon. He stood beside Mark with a single, perfect red rose in hand. Mark flashed a big smile.
He touched base earlier to see if we were doing anything and said he wanted to come.
I smiled through my tears. I wasn't losing my friends, and I was gaining so much more. Gideon was always there when I needed him, even before I realized he was the integral piece that was missing.
I dare you to try their Diablo salsa,
I challenged, holding my hand out for the rose. His lips curved faintly with a subtle smile, the one that did me in every time.
And every other woman in the room, too, I couldn't help but notice.
But the look in his eyes, the understanding and support for what I was feeling, that was all mine.
It's your party, angel mine.
4. The two-story house that sprawled along the coastline glowed with golden warmth spilling from every window. Lights embedded in the curving driveway glittered like a bed of stars in the gloaming, while hydrangea bushes the size of small cars burst with petals around the edges of the wide lawn.
"Isn't it pretty?"
Ava asked, her back to me as she knelt on the black leather bench seat and stared out the window. "Stunning," I replied, although I was referring to her. She was vibrating with excitement and a childlike delight. I took that in, needing to understand it and the cause. Her happiness was vital to me. It was the wellspring of my own contentment, the weight that balanced my equilibrium and kept me steady. She glanced over her shoulder at me as Angus slowed the limo to a halt by the front steps.
"Are you checking out my butt?"
My gaze dropped to her ass, cupped so perfectly by the shorts she'd changed into after work.
"Now that you mention it..."
She plopped down onto the seat with a huff of laughter.
"There's no help for you, you know that?"
"Yes, I knew there was no cure the first time you kissed me."
"I'm pretty sure you kissed me."
I held back a smile. "Is that the way it went?" Her gaze narrowed.
"You better be joking. That moment should be seared into your brain."
Reaching over, I ran my hand down her bare thigh. "Is it seared into yours?" I murmured, pleased by the thought.
"Hey now," Carrie interrupted, pulling his earbuds out. "Don't forget I'm sitting right here."
Ava's roommate had been unobtrusively watching a movie on his tablet during the nearly 2-hour drive through evening traffic, but I could never forget he was there. Carrie Taylor was a fixture in my wife's life, and I accepted it, even if I didn't like it. While I believed he loved Ava, I also believed he made bad choices that put her in tough situations and even posed a risk. Angus opened the door. Ava was out and running up the steps before I put my tablet away. Monica opened the front door just as her daughter hit the top landing. Surprised by my wife's enthusiasm, considering she barely tolerated her mother most of the time, I stared after her curiously. Carrie laughed as he gathered his things and shoved them into a small messenger bag.
"One whiff, that's all it takes."
"Excuse me?" "Monica usually bakes these crazy good cookies with peanut butter cups. Ava's making sure she stashes some before I get in there and eat them all." Making a mental note to get that recipe, I looked back toward the two women on the porch, catching them exchanging air kisses before they both turned to look my way. At that moment, with Monica dressed in capris and a casual shirt, the similarities between them were striking. Carrie hopped out and took the steps two at a time, barreling directly into Monica's open-armed embrace and lifting her off her feet. Their laughter rang out through the gathering dusk. I heard Angus speak to me from where he stood by the open door.
"You can't spend the weekend in the limo, lad."
Amused, I left my tablet on the seat and stepped out. He grinned. "It'll be good for you to have family." I set my hand on his shoulder and squeezed. "I already have one." For years, Angus had been all I'd had, and he'd been enough.
"Come on, slowpoke!"
Ava came back to me, grabbing my hand and dragging me up the steps after her.
"Gideon!"
Monica's smile was wide and warm.
"Monica?"
I held out my hand and was startled to be hugged tightly instead.
"I tell you to call me Mom,"
she said, pulling back.
"But I'm afraid I'd feel old."
Awkwardness morphed into a prickling that ran down my spine. It struck me then that I'd miscalculated to a wide degree. Marriage to Ava made her mine. It also made me hers, and connected me to her loved ones in a very personal way. Monica and I had known each other for a while, our paths crossing occasionally because of the various children's charities we both supported. We'd established particular parameters for our interactions, just as every association followed known protocols. Abruptly, that was all blown to hell. I found myself glancing back at Angus, at a loss. Apparently my predicament was entertaining, since he gave me a wink and left me to my own devices. He rounded the trunk to greet Benjamin Clancy, who waited by the driver's side door of the limo.
"The garage is over there,"
Monica said, pointing at the two-story building across the road that was a small replica of the main house.
"Clancy will make sure your driver gets settled and your bags are brought in."
Ava tugged on my hand and led me inside. Carrie had guessed right. I was inundated with the smell of buttery vanilla. Not candles, cookies. The homey and comforting scent made me itch to turn around and step back outside. I wasn't prepared. I'd come as a guest, Ava's plus one. To be a son-in-law, a true member of the family, was a possibility I hadn't anticipated.
"I love this house,"
Ava said, taking me through the archway that framed the opening to the living room. I saw what I expected. An upscale beach house with white slip-covered seating and nautical-themed accessories.
"Don't you love the espresso hardwood floors?"
she asked.
"I would have gone with bleached oak, but that's so predictable, right? And the green, orange, and yellow accent colors over the usual blue? Makes me want to go rogue when we get back to the Outer Banks."
She had no idea how much I wanted to get back there now. There, at least, I'd have more than a second to myself before I had to deal with a house full of brand new relatives. The expansive living area flowed directly into the open kitchen, where Stanton, Martin, Lacey, and Carrie all gathered around a large kitchen island with seating for six. The entire space shared the view of the water, afforded by a row of sliding glass panels that opened onto a wide veranda.
"Hey!" Ava protested. "You better save me some cookies."
Stanton grinned and approached us. Dressed in jeans and a polo shirt, he looked like a younger version of the man I knew from our dealings in New York. He'd shed the corporate vibe along with his suit, and I felt like I faced a stranger.
"Ava?"
Stanton kissed Ava's cheek, then turned to me.
"Gideon?"
Accustomed to being addressed by my last name, I wasn't braced for the hug that followed.
"Congratulations," he said, giving me a firm pat on the back before releasing me.
Irritation simmered. Where was the natural evolution? The gradual shifting from business colleague to social acquaintance? And from there, from friend to family?
I abruptly thought of Victor. He'd understood what my marriage meant in a way I hadn't. While I stood stiffly, Stanton smiled at my wife. "I think your mother stashed some cookies in the warming drawer for you."
"Yes!"
She rushed into the kitchen, leaving me with her stepfather. My stepfather-in-law. My gaze followed her. In doing so, I caught the wave Martin Stanton sent my way, and I acknowledged it with a nod. If he tried to hug me, he was going to get a fist in the face. I'd once told him he could count on seeing me at family gatherings. It felt surreal now that it was actually happening, like I was being punked. Ava's husky laugh carried across the room to me and drew my eye. She held out her left hand to the blonde standing by Martin, showing off the ring I'd given her when I made her my wife. Monica joined Stanton and me, sliding into place at her husband's side. Her youthful beauty aged him, drawing attention to the stark whiteness of his hair and the lines etching his face. It was evident, however, that Stanton didn't care about the decades that separated him and his wife. He lit up when he looked at her, his faded blue eyes softening with affection. I searched for something appropriate to say. In the end, all that came out was, "You have a beautiful home."
"It didn't look this good before Monica got her hands on it."
Stanton wrapped an arm around her slender waist.
"Same can be said for me."
"Richard."
Monica shook her head.
"Can I give you a tour, Gideon?"
"Let's give the man a drink first," Stanton suggested, eyeing me. "He's been in the car a while."
"Wine?"
she offered.
"Maybe scotch," Stanton said. "Scotch would be great," I replied, chagrined that my unease was apparently obvious.
I was out of my element, something I should be used to since meeting Ava, but she had been an anchor of sorts, even as she sent me reeling. As long as I held on to her, I could weather any storm. Or so I'd thought. Looking for my wife, I turned and felt a rush of relief to find her coming toward me with a bounce in her step that had her ponytail swaying.
"Try this,"
she ordered, lifting a cookie to my lips. I opened my mouth, but snapped my teeth shut a split second too soon, deliberately nipping her fingers.
"Ow!"
She frowned, but the literal bite of pain had the intended effect of focusing her attention on me. The frown faded as understanding dimmed the light in her eyes. She saw me, saw what was happening inside me.
"Want to go outside?" she murmured.
"In a minute." I jerked my chin toward the bar in the living room, where Stanton was pouring my drink. I also caught her by the wrist, keeping her close. It rankled, holding her back from the group.
I didn't want to be one of those men who smother the women who love them. But I needed time to adjust to all of this. The usual distance I maintained from others, including Carrie, wouldn't be acceptable with Monica or Stanton. Not after seeing how much joy Ava took in being with those she considered family. Family, for her, was a safe place. She was as relaxed and easy as I'd ever seen her. For me, gatherings like this sent up red flags. I told myself to chill as Stanton returned with our drinks. But I didn't let my guard down completely. Martin came over and introduced his girlfriend, both of them offering congratulations. That went as expected, which soothed me a little, although not as much as the double scotch I polished off with one swallow. "I'm going to show him the beach," Ava said, taking the empty glass from me and setting it on an end table we passed on the way to the glass doors. It was warmer outside than it was in the house, summer lingering this year to the very end. A strong, salt-tinged breeze washed over us, whipping my hair across my face. We walked to the edge of the lapping surf, her hand in mine. "What's going on?" she asked, facing me. The concern in her voice had me bristling. "Did you know this was some sort of family celebration because we're married?" She recoiled from the snap in my tone. "I didn't think about it like that. And Mom didn't call it that. But I suppose it makes sense." Not to me. I turned my back to her and began walking into the wind, letting it blow my hair away from my heated face. "Gideon!" Ava hurried after me. "Why are you mad?" I rounded on her. "I wasn't expecting this." "What?" "The assimilation into the family crap." She frowned. "Well, yeah. I told you they knew." "That shouldn't change anything." Why tell them then? You wanted them to know, Gideon." She stared at me when I didn't say anything. "What did you think would happen?" "I never expected to get married, Ava, so forgive me if I didn't think about it." "Okay." She held up both hands in a gesture of surrender. "I'm confused." And I didn't know how to make things clear. I'm not ready for this." "Ready for what?" I waved an impatient hand toward the house. "For that." "Can you be more specific?" she asked carefully. No. "Did I miss something in there?" Her voice held a sharp note of anger. "What did they say, Gideon?" It took me a moment to understand that she was rising to my defense. That only goaded me further. "I came here to be with you. It just so happens you're spending time with your family." "They're your family, too." "I didn't ask for that." I watched as understanding sifted across her face. When pity followed, my fists clenched at my sides. "Don't look at me like that, Ava." "I don't know what to say. Tell me what you need." I exhaled roughly. "More liquor." Her mouth curved. "I'm sure you won't be the first groom who feels the need to drink around his in-laws." "Can we not call them that, please?" The faint smile faded. "What would that change? You can call them Mr. and Mrs. Stanton, but..." "I'm not the one who's confused about where I fit here." Her lips pursed. "I'm not sure I agree with that." "2 days ago, they would have shaken my hand and called me cross. Now it's hugs and call me Mom and smiles that expect something." "Actually, she told you not to call her Mom, but I get it. You're their son by marriage and it's freaking you out. Still, Is it so terrible if they're happy about it? Would you prefer it if they were like my dad?
Yes. I knew how to deal with anger and disappointment. Ava took a step back, her eyes dark and wide in the light of a waning moon. No, I retracted, shoving a hand through my hair. I didn't know how to deal with disappointing her. Damn it! I don't know. She stared at me for a long minute. I looked away, out over the water.
Gideon.
She closed the gap she'd put between us.
Honestly, I get it. My mom's been married 3 times. Every time it's a new instant father figure that
I have a stepfather, I interrupted tersely. It's not the same thing. No one gives a shit whether a step-parent likes you.
Is that what this is about?
She walked into me and hugged me tight.
They already like you.
I gripped her close. They don't fucking know me.
They will, and they're going to love you. You're every parent's dream.
Cut the bullshit, Ava. She shoved away from me, her temper flaring.
You know what? If you didn't want any in-laws, you should have married an orphan.
She marched back toward the house. Get back here, I snapped. She flipped her middle finger at me over her shoulder. I caught her in 3 strides, grabbing her arm and spinning her back around. We're not done.
I am.
Ava pushed up onto her tiptoes to get in my face, which still left her tilting her head back to glare at me.
You're the one who wanted to get married. If you're having cold feet, it's all on you.
Don't make this my problem. Fury sizzled through my blood, ratcheting up my frustration.
Sorry you didn't realize the commitment involved more than a convenient piece of ass.
Conveniently unavailable, I countered, feeling a muscle twitching in my jaw.
Screw you!
Excellent idea. She was flat on her back in the sand before she knew what hit her. I pinned her down, pressing hard, my mouth on hers to shut her up. She arched, struggling, and I gripped her ponytail to hold her in place. Her teeth sank into my bottom lip, and I pulled back with a curse.
Are you fucking kidding me right now?
Her legs tangled with mine, and I found myself beneath her, staring up at her furious, beautiful face.
This is exactly why you're not getting any, Ace. Sex is your go-to solution for everything.
You've got to make this worth my while, I taunted, wanting a fight.
I'm worth your while, asshat, not my vagina.
She pushed down on my shoulders.
I'm sorry you feel ambushed. I'm really sorry that being welcomed with open arms makes you lose your damn mind. But you're going to have to get used to it, because it's all part of the package you got with me.
I knew that. Knew I had to make it work, because I had to have her. It trapped me, my love for her. Pushed me into corners I couldn't back out of. Forced a family on me, when I'd gotten by just fine without one. I don't want this, I said tightly. Ava stilled. She sank back onto her knees, her thighs bracketing my hips.
Think about what you're saying, she warned.
I don't know how to play this role, Ava.
Jesus.
Her temper left her on a sigh.
Just be yourself.
I'm the last thing they'd want for their daughter.
You really think that?
She studied me.
You do. God, Gideon.
I gripped her thighs, holding her in place. She couldn't leave me now. Whatever happened, I wasn't letting her leave me.
Okay.
Her eyes took on a calculation that made me wary.
So be yourself. If they find out what a terrible guy you are and hate you, you'd like that better anyway, right? Leave the mind games to the shrinks, Ava. I'm just working with what you're giving me, Ace. A whistle drew our gazes to where Martin, Lacey, and Carrie were stepping onto the sand from the edge of the slate-covered patio.
You guys are totally newlyweds, Lacey called out, almost too far away to hear.
She laughed as she struggled to balance on the shifting sand, spilling half the contents of her wine glass in the process. Ava looked back at me.
Do you want to fight in front of them?
I took a deep breath, let it out. No.
I love you.
Christ. My eyes closed. It was a goddamned weekend. A couple days. Maybe we could leave early on Sunday. Her lips brushed mine.
We can do this. Just try.
What choice did I have?
If it starts driving you crazy, she went on, just imagine some terribly wicked thing you want to do to me on our wedding night as payback.
My fingers flexed into her flesh. I wasn't ashamed to admit that sex with my wife, even just the thought of sex with my wife, took precedence over damn near everything else.
You can even text me all your nefarious plans, she suggested. Make me suffer, too.
Keep your phone on you.
You're evil.
She bent down and pressed her lips to mine in a quick, sweet kiss.
You're so easy to love, Gideon. Even when you're impossible. One day, you're going to see it.
I disagree.